Playing by the uncertainties of our modern world, life can seem awfully bleak at times. In our search for purpose, meaning, and certainty, most of us would love to have an inkling of what lies ahead, to have even a glimpse of tomorrow today. In our podcast, Knowing Tomorrow Today, we share from the Bible a wonderful blueprint of hope, which reveals that God wants us to live an abundant life and that He has an amazing future planned for us. All right. Welcome to our podcast, Knowing Tomorrow Today. I'm your host, Merrick Brown. Thank you always for joining me on this journey of hope. I always want to encourage you to like, to subscribe, and to share these messages of hope wherever you listen, with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, and just all who you meet along life's journey. So now, you may have heard the term mark of the beast before. And so what really is the mark of the beast? You know, in our popular culture, there are many different ideas or false notions or really conspiracy theories about what the mark of the beast really is. For example, some people believe that microchips implanted under the skin, which would allow the government to track and control your activities, could be the mark of the beast. Others believe that barcode technology, especially when integrated with identification cards, products, or even tattoos, could be related to the mark of the beast. Still others believe that biometric technology such as fingerprint scans or iris scans or facial recognition technology could be considered as potential marks, as they could be used for surveillance and control. So does the Bible actually mention the term mark of the beast anywhere? The short answer is yes. And so in this episode, we want to begin to demystify what the mark of the beast really is and to learn what the Bible actually says about it. So just to remind you that we have been going through the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and we are still looking at Revelation chapter 13. Our previous episode is called Tribulation at the End, and I want to encourage you to listen to that episode when you have a chance, because it really lays the foundation for what we're going to be talking about in this episode. In our previous episode, we discovered that according to the books of Daniel and Revelation, the climactic event on earth which triggers the end of the world and the second coming of Jesus will be something called the Great Tribulation. In fact, the prophet Daniel, in there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, calls the Great Tribulation a time of trouble, the worst trouble that the world has ever seen. And of course, this is future. In the Bible, the events of the Great Tribulation are described in, of course, in the book of Revelation, particularly in Revelation chapter 13. We learned in our previous episode that this Great Tribulation will not be a crisis over oil in the Middle East, friends, right? That will trigger the end of the world and Armageddon, as some people believe. We discovered in our previous episode that the central issue of the Great Tribulation in the end, as described there in Revelation chapter 13, will be over worship, right? And that will be the central question. That is a central question there in Revelation chapter 13, and really at the end of the Bible, right? And the question will be this: who will you worship? Will you pledge your allegiance to Jesus, the one who made you, and worship him and follow him as the Lamb of God who died for your sins? Or will you worship the beast and the dragon? And so in order for us to begin to understand what the mark of the beast really is, we need to identify who is the beast, right? As described there in Revelation chapter 13. And so I always want to encourage you to, when you have a moment, right, to take your Bible, take your own Bible, and prayerfully read through any scripture that we're dealing with in an episode, and just want to encourage you to read through Revelation chapter 13 on your own, right? However, in this episode, I'm just going to be summarizing the central characters and the central events mentioned there in Revelation chapter 13. And so in Revelation chapter 13, there are two beasts, right? One beast arises out of the sea and the other beast arises out of the earth. Now, in a previous episode, we discovered that the beast which rises from the sea represents the Antichrist of Bible prophecy, right? And we also discovered that the prefix anti in the word Antichrist actually means instead of, or someone who takes the place of Jesus in the eyes of the masses. We also learned that the Antichrist actually arises in the Christian church after there is an apostasy or a compromise by some Christians of the gospel which Jesus gave us, right? We also discovered that the sea beast represents a religio-political world power, which again arises within the Christian church, right? And we also learned that many Bible students agree that this sea beast there in Revelation chapter 13 actually represents the Roman papacy in history, right? In other words, the office of the popes, right? And so if you want to actually learn more on that, I think we go into that in a podcast episode entitled Apostasia. So you can check that out when you have a chance, right? And so if the sea beast in Revelation chapter 13 represents the Roman papacy or the office of the popes, what does the beast that arises from the earth represent symbolize there in Revelation chapter 13? Remember, again, there are two beasts, one that arises from the sea and one arises from the earth. So here's a key point, and we'll find this in the book of Revelation itself. And so we should ask, what does the word sea represent in Bible prophecy? Amazingly, the book of Revelation actually gives us the answer to this question. And we'll find the answer there in Revelation chapter 17 and in verse 15. And there John says, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, right? And so when John sees this beast arising out of the sea, it means that this entity is arising out of a highly populated area on earth, right? So don't miss that, right? And so if the sea in the book of Revelation symbolizes a highly populated area on the planet, right, then the earth would represent the opposite of that, right? A sparsely populated area on the globe. So you recall, and we looked at this in a previous episode called How the Bible Begins and Ends. And so you can check that out when you have some time, that at the end of Revelation chapter 12, after this woman escapes his clutches, an enraged dragon or Satan decides to wage war on her offspring, the final generation of faithful Christians who are described as those who keep God's commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You find that there in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Hence, it is important, friends, for us to keep in mind that the Great Tribulation is primarily agitated by the dragon or Satan, and that he intends that this great tribulation will be his final solution, right, for Christians, to destroy all Christians who remain loyal to Jesus and who keep his commandments. That's what the great tribulation is all about. Satan is directing this tribulation against those who have decided to follow Jesus and who have decided that they're not going to turn back, right? And that's who he has directed that's who he will direct this tribulation against, right? So it's important for us to keep in mind, right, that this is what it's all about. So you will recall there in Revelation chapter 12 that the earth opens its mouth and swallows up a great flood of water, right? When the dragon spews out at the woman. The earth opening its mouth, right, symbolizes in Bible prophecy the opening up of new opportunities in a relatively sparsely populated new world for persecuted peoples to resettle and to worship freely, right? And so for a time, the earth or this sparsely populated area in the New World, particularly in North America, will be friendly towards persecuted Christians and other people seeking a refuge from around the world. But perhaps what is most disturbing, friends, is that the prophecy there in Revelation chapter 13 predicts that in the future, the dragon will find a way to breach the fortifications of free America, right, and plunge the entire world into a great crisis or tribulation. And so, according to Revelation chapter 13, a beast with two horns like a lamb, but who eventually speaks like a dragon, will arise from the earth, not from the sea, from the earth, right, from a sparsely populated era, right? Through signs and miracles which this beast will work, and then later through an enforced international mandate, the beast which arises from the earth will cause much of the world to worship the resurrected sea beast, which is the first beast they are mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, and they will force the world, all right, force the people to receive the deadly mark or the deadly mark of the beast, right? So this earth beast, which speaks like a dragon, will accomplish its goals by creating an entity called the image of the beast, a religio-political body which will exercise all the power of the first beast or the sea beast I mean, this CMBs had exerted all that power during the Dark Ages, right? So as a sign of their loyalty and allegiance to this entity, no one on the planet will be able to buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the CMBs or the mark of the beast on their right hand or on their forehead. So by agreeing to receive the devil's mark, many will pledge their allegiance to the dragon and not to the lamb. Over time, the dissidents, those who refuse to worship this satanic system, eventually will receive the death penalty. And so, like the sea beast, which arises from the sea, the earth beast is a global entity, friends. It's a global power, right? It is described as having two horns like a lamb. This lamb-like beast arises from the earth, will be a Christ-like type power. It will have Christ-like attributes. It will be friendly to Christians, at least at first, right? So, friends, likely the lamb-like beast mentioned there in Revelation chapter 13, which arises from the earth, represents free America, right? So it would make sense, because this would explain why the offspring of the woman there in Revelation chapter 12 finds a refuge from the dragon's persecution in the ear on the earth, from which this lamb-like beast arises. However, the prophecy tells us, friends, and this is what I want us to pay attention to. The prophecy reveals that that the character of the lamb-like beast will change, and that this beast will eventually speak like or as a dragon, right? So in order for global citizens to participate in the global economy in the future, they will be required by the image of the beast authority to receive the deadly mark of the beast on their right hand or on their forehead. So, what is the truth, right? This is what we're going to ask in this episode. What is the truth about this dreaded, mysterious mark of the beast? And how can we avoid getting this mark? Because it's very serious, right? We do not want to receive this mark of the beast, right? So in order for us to understand what the mark of the beast is, we need to understand that, again, I think I said this before, that the central issue in the book of Revelation, especially in Revelation chapter 13, will be over worship. The question will be, who will you worship, friends? Will you worship the beast, or will you worship Jesus? Will you worship the creator God and receive his seal, or will you worship the beast and receive his mark? Now, in our last episode, we learned that to worship God means that we love him, we revere him, we honor him as our creator and redeemer above everything else in our lives, right? To worship God means that we are wholly devoted to him, friends, that we adore him, that he holds the very first place. Yes, the very first place in our lives. Now, Jesus reiterates that even as our love for our fellow man is important, right, it should be secondary to our love and adoration and devotion to God. So here's the things, friends. Here's the point, right? One of John's key identified characteristics of God's faithful people in the last days, of Christians in the last days, is that they will not only have the faith or testimony of Jesus, but they will also keep all of God's commandments, right? So here's the thing, friends. The truth is, faithfulness to God's commandments is one of the important themes in the book of Revelation. And this is what I found. You can't get around it, right? So these Christians are not only faithful to God, they're not only faithful to Jesus, but they will keep all of Jesus's commandments in the end. So during the tribulation, the dragon will be especially incensed. He'll be enraged with these believers who have faith in Jesus and who also keep the commandments of God. When the book of Revelation talks about the commandments, it's really zeroing, it's really targeting, it's really pointing to the Ten Commandments, all right? The fact is that the first four commandments, right? I mean, all of them are important, right? But especially the first four commandments tell us why our Creator God deserves our love and worship. I mean, the first commandment tells us that God should be our only God. The second tells us that we should not have any other idols in our lives. The third commandment tells us not to misuse God's name. While the fourth commandment instructs us to honor the seventh day, God's Sabbath, because he is the one who made us, right? It's simple, friends. The dragon wants to be like the Most High. That's his goal. He wants to be like God, right? And to the very end, he will crave the worship and adulation that is due only to the Creator God. And by receiving the mark of the beast and worshiping this counterfeit Trinity, the masses will be inadvertently worshiping or paying homage to the devil himself, right? And so here's the reality, friends. When the dust from the Great Tribulation settles, only two classes of people will exist in this world. Those who worship the beast and those, and I mean, they worship the beast and receive his mark, and those who worship the Creator and have his seal in their forehead. Now, the question is, right? I mean, so how do Christians in the end times receive the seal of God, right? How will people receive the seal of God during the tribulation? Of course, the Bible tells us that believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And of course, you can also refer to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And this is another way of saying that the Holy Spirit convicts us of God's truth and confirms our faith in Jesus. And so during the tribulation, those who receive the seal of God, and don't mix it up, the seal of God is different, is from what the mark of the beast is, right? And those who receive the seal of God are sealed in their mind, friends, that their Creator God is worthy of worship because he made them and has redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb. These end time Christians or these end time believers will have a steadfast faith in Jesus, right? They will pledge total allegiance to Jesus and they will surrender to him as the Lord and Savior of their life, right? And they will also follow him. They will also follow Jesus wherever he leads them by keeping his commandments, right? And so their sealing, talking about the seal of God here, right? Their sealing signifies that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are determined that nothing, not even death, will pry them from their Creator's hand, right? They will follow Jesus wherever he leads, right? Those who receive the seal of God will have their Heavenly Father's name written on their foreheads. Those who worship the sea beast will receive his mark on their hand, on their right hand, right? So John references there in Revelation chapter 13 of being sealed in the forehead or receiving a mark on the right hand. And this is really, friend, this is really an allusion to the Old Testament. It's an allusion to Deuteronomy chapter 6, in which Moses instructs the Israelites, you find this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, to tie them or tie God's laws as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Now, Revelation expert Ranko Stefanovic states that some Israelites took Moses' injunction very literally, right? They were wearing these phylacteries or small boxes tied to their forehead containing the text from the law of Moses, which were worn during prayer sessions. However, Stefanovic explains that when God's people receive the seal of God in the end on their forehead, it has to do with impressing God's law upon their minds and upon the behavior of the people, right? And so, of course, we know that behind our forehead is the frontal lobe, the brain's largest lobe, which is responsible for judgment and reasoning. I mean, when it comes to our awareness, consciousness, impressions, convictions about God, these are actually formed, friends, in our frontal lobe, in our brains, right? This is why John writes that God's people are sealed in their forehead, right? They are forever settled in their minds about the truth when it comes to their Creator God, about who God is, and they have pledged their allegiance to Jesus the Lamb, right? On the other hand, those who receive the mark of the beast on their forehead and on their right hand are deceived by the dragon. They will be deceived by the dragon, right? And in the end, there will be this global push for all to receive the mark of the beast in an attempt by the dragon to replace the imperatives or the commandments of the Creator God with human systems or human laws and human traditions, right? So, Bridget, it's in the end, it's all about, right? Are you willing to keep God's commandments or are you willing to follow the traditions or the laws of men? Again, this all has to do with worship. Who will you worship? Will you follow Christ and keep his commandments, or will you follow the dragon and the beast, right? And follow the traditions and the laws of men? That's what it's all about, friends, right? So during, you recall that, and this is in the Gospels, during confrontations with that Jesus had with these religious leaders, Jesus warned them that their worship was futile. In other words, their worship was unacceptable to God if they dispense with the commandments of God and embrace the traditions of men instead, right? You find that in Matthew chapter 15. So, How can we avoid receiving the mark of the beast, right? Friends, to avoid receiving the mark of the beast in the end, during the tribulation, you need to faithfully keep all of God's commandments. And the only way to do this is by exercising saving faith in Jesus. Of course, we know as Christians that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. However, the fruit of that faith, right? The fruit of that genuine faith in Jesus will be our obedience to Jesus. Do you get that, right? The fruit of our faith in Jesus will be our obedience to Jesus. In other words, because we love Jesus, right? We will want to follow him. We want to keep his commandments. If Jesus is Lord of your life, friend, right? You will do what he says, right? And so if we love Jesus with all of our mind, our heart, and soul, we will pledge total allegiance to Jesus, right? We will give him total allegiance over our lives and we will keep his commandments. Friends, I want to tell you, right? There is a final call to humanity mentioned there in Revelation chapter 14, in particular verse 6 and 7. God has a final message, a final warning, a final call for our generation living right now in the 21st century, right? Again, you find that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And this is what John writes. He says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, people, saying with a loud voice," and this is a message that God wants us to hear, "fear God," right? In other words, honor God with your life, revere God because of who he is. Of course, he's our creator, he's our maker, he's our redeemer. And it says to give glory to God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And it says that we are to worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of waters. And there it is again, friends. Revelation, the book of Revelation is telling us that the issue in the last days will be over worship. Will we faithfully worship Jesus, right? And I mean, will we faithfully worship the Lamb, or will we choose instead to worship the dragon and receive the mark of the beast? So if you notice there in Revelation chapter 14, when God invites us to worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of waters, this phrase in the passage is actually a direct allusion to the fourth commandment found there in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 20, right? In other words, John is almost quoting there from the fourth commandment found there in Exodus chapter 20, which reminds us, the fourth commandment reminds us to remember to honor the seventh day Sabbath, to keep it holy, because this commandment, friends, above every other commandments found in the Ten Commandments, reminds us that it is God who created us, right? And that worship is due only to God. That worship is due only to Jesus, right? And not to the beast or any other human system, right? And so if you're going to talk about the seal of God, right, you'll find that in the fourth commandment, right? In other words, faithful Christians in the end, they will honor God's seventh day Sabbath, right? I mean, this is something I've studied out for years. I studied this out. This is biblical, friends. It's actually, and this is God's final call, actually alludes to the fourth commandments, the fourth commandment there in the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. So, in fact, again, Jesus tells these religious leaders back in his day, and you find this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Jesus says that, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." Friends, will you commit your life to following Jesus in every way, right? Because Jesus says, listen, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll keep all of my commandments. You know, friends, this same Jesus who reminds us that he is the only creator God and that he is our redeemer, who is the only person who is deserving of our worship. He also tells us there in chapter 29, verse 11 to 14. He tells us there that he has a plan for us, right? He says, "I know what I've planned for you. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope." He says, "When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. If you seek me with all of your heart and soul, I will make myself available to you." My friends, the Lord Jesus has planned an amazing future for us. God has given us glimpses of that future in his word, in the Bible. My friends, my hope is that you'll come to trust him, that you'll come to pledge total allegiance to Jesus the Lamb, right? And that you worship him and adore him above everything else in your life, right? And that you choose to live by His way, by His word, and not by your own way. And I promise you, if you do, your life will never be the same. Listen, as we part, I always want to encourage you to remember to like, to subscribe, and to share this podcast wherever you listen. And when you do so, as you do so, you will be helping to share, to spread the gospel into all the world as Jesus has commanded us to do as His believers. Listen, I also you can also email me. My email address is knowingtomorrowtoday@gmail.com. It's knowingtomorrowtoday@gmail.com. If you have questions, now this is a deep topic. This Mark of the Beast topic can be very controversial, right? So if you have questions, if you have prayer requests, just reach out to me and I'll respond to you. And when I respond, I will actually send you a free copy of the book that actually inspired this podcast. It's called Knowing Tomorrow Today, Glimpses of the Future That Will Change Your Life. Listen, may God continue to bless you. I'm Merrick Brown. Until next time, you stay blessed and you stay well. Get better.